everyone. Happy Wednesday and welcome back to the Crypto Girls Next Door podcast. I'm Sass and I'm joined by my co-host Kat.
Hello. Kat, everybody.
Yeah, what a crazy week we've had in crypto. Hey, Kat?
From the funny meme side of crypto to the not so funny side of crypto. Yeah, we had a lot this week. Like, I don't know. This is just crazy.
It's been a crazy week. And, you know, crypto, I must say, I love the memes. Memes are really part of crypto culture, but sometimes it just gets a little much.
Like too much, you know?
So, okay, let's just talk about it because let's just get right into it. I'm looking at a photo right now. I know no one can see. I'm looking at a whole bunch of like funny designed dicks.
So, oh, no.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, an NFT collection called Crypto Dick Butts surged 690% in daily sales volume on August 7th. That is crazy. Okay, before we get into it, if you're listening to this, please do yourself a favor and Google crypto dick butts right now. You'll see all these little funny images as part of the NFT collection. I'm going to give you a little bit of background. So these dick butts were created by comic book artist Casey Green. The dick butts became a recognizable part of internet culture as they were shared for years in countless memes on social media platforms like Reddit. So unlike me, who only just learned about the dick butts, apparently these have been around since 2006. So now there's an NFT collection. It launched in March 2021 and was followed up with a series of 3 of 5,200 NFTs in August last year. So let's talk about the price. The cheapest crypto dick butt from the Series 3 currently sells for 3 Ethereum.
That, oh my God,
over $5,000 at today's prices. Oof. That's crazy.
Oh my, that ass. That ass though. I mean, I don't know why it gotten so famous, but probably because like famous people are hopping, like jumping onto the bandwagon, like Diplo literally retweet and quote, "Nowhere else I'd rather be with a dick butt."
Nowhere else I'd rather be than with a dick butt.
Can you imagine, like, the reason why I found out about dick butt was on crypto Twitter, Bill Gates meme. If you have been looking at memes, you kind of know this one, which is Bill Gates back in 30 years ago, where he say like, "It's amazing to think what great and exciting things people will be doing with PCs in 30 years, right? And they cut to the image of a crypto dick butt.
Yeah, like, that's what we're doing. We don't need to solve the world's problems. I think we've seen that they are beyond solving at this time. So why not just have a good laugh? It's interesting you brought up the celebrities. So it says that the project has no roadmap, okay? And it's governed by the Crypto Dick Butt DAO, which includes names like Steve Aoki, Blondish, and Probcos. So there are some big names in the Crypto Dick Butt DAO. But there's no roadmap. It just seems like, you know, people are just there for the laughs.
Yeah, I think it's just for fun. Like, take my money. I want to be part of this culture. That's it. We don't need a roadmap for this.
So for people who are new to crypto, Kat, tell us, what's a roadmap?
So a roadmap is basically a milestone where a project is usually really transparent at the start. On like their 3 months, 6 months, and towards a year of what they would want to achieve with the community goals, the protocol goals, etc. But apparently for Crypto Dick Butt, they didn't need one to have such a successful launch.
They didn't need one. I don't know if they didn't want one. So if you just think about a traditional business, it's like when you set out your goals, your long-term and short-term goals, and a lot of NFT projects are able to sell their NFTs for high prices because they have lofty goals and they've shown that they have the ability to achieve those goals. These dick butts say, you know, none of that. We're just cool. Come and join the DAO. Now, I think we need to explain to people what a DAO is. Kat?
Oh, me explaining it? Sess, you're better at doing explanation than I.
Sure. Okay, so DAO stands for Decentralized Autonomous Organization. Now, what the heck is that? Three super long words. So basically, a DAO takes the structure of an organization, which usually is, you know, from the top down, and kind of flips it on its head and gives everyone mm-hmm. kind of, well, it's supposed to give everyone equal say in how the organization works and what the organization does. I don't think that any DAO has really achieved that. So to put it in like really layman's terms, a DAO is a group of people who get together over a central kind of cause or mission. They pool their money together, and then smart contracts enable them to allocate that money without having to trust each other. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I guess they rely heavily on those smart contracts that you mentioned, you know, and it has to be really logically coded and dictate a decision making for the whole organization. So usually what happens is that people would just raise a soft proposal and have a discussion with the community. So we've seen successes in the space that has done well with this kind of communications and getting community involved. But right now, everything is becoming a DAO model. So I'm not sure like how this is going to, you know, take off for crypto dick butt in like, how do they want community to come in and, hey, give us some suggestion on what we can do with dick butt.
Yeah, I don't know if they know. I hope they know. But in the meantime, we have these super fun dick butts. Some of them have a dynamite stick in their butt. Some have sunglasses and like a lion's mane. Some are dressed up like owls. I love it. I think that was a great way to start off this podcast. Now we're going to get into some less fun news.
Oh, yeah.
But important to talk about.
Yeah, definitely. I'm pretty sure this news hit the headlines pretty hard on like Monday morning, which is the sanction of Tornado Cash by the OFAC, which is the Treasury's Office of Foreign Assets Control. Now, this is a very big news because they have never sanctioned a software before. So from what I know, they only sanction entities, and right now they are sanctioning a software. So to me, this is a really harsh play by them, but I guess they are really gonna go hard on everyone that have actually, how do I say this, they actually did some transaction with Tornado Cash. So I don't know, this is a really gray area, because from what I see on CT, if someone actually send you an amount from Tornado Cash, your wallet can be compromised and be under the SDN list.
Yes. So a lot to unpack here. And I think we first need to talk about Tornado Cash and what it is. So Tornado mm-hmm. Cash is a mixing service, right? And it's used by some people to protect their privacy when they're making transactions. So let's say I buy something and I want to go and pay for that using my wallet. The recipient of that transfer has access to my public wallet. So they can go in, they can see previous transactions I've done. You know, they can follow the transaction trail. Tornado Cash makes it so that my transaction can be more anonymized, and the funds that I'm giving to the person or entity that I'm buying something from cannot be tracked back to my wallet address.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people in the space, not in the space, but people looking at the news from an outside view, they think that, oh, we only use Tornado Cash to, you know, try to hide our transaction. We have something to hide. But that is not necessarily true, right? Because sometimes we get paid in crypto and we don't really want our employer to know our full financial details, right? Because everything is transparent in the space. So Tornado Cash is also one way where that's how we accept our payments, so that people can't see where the funds are coming from and they can't really have they can't really know our full financial details. So it's not just for illicit activities, just want to be clear.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's like when I go to the mall and purchase something from a store, I don't expect that store owner to be able to see my bank account, right? It's the exact same thing. And I think, you know, a use case that may resonate a little bit more is, you know, if we think about living in the United States today, living in a red state and trying to access an abortion, you may want a transaction you make in that process towards getting safe medical care to be private for multiple reasons. And a service like this would allow that. So the banning of it is really, really detrimental to crypto and privacy. And I think that this is going to have a lot of implications as it continues to unfold.
Yeah, I think it just put us back like 10 steps from where we wanted to achieve decentralization and like privacy, like financial privacy. I feel like what they are doing right now is just waging a war on human rights and like privacy rights. Like, we are all entitled for privacy rights. So I don't know how this is gonna unfold, but honestly, it doesn't look that good.
Yeah, there's also case law, Kat, you touched on it a little bit earlier. There's case law in the States that says you can't ban software. That's a version of a freedom of speech, right? We can't ban the code for software. And so it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. It is definitely against some of the freedoms and protections that U.S. citizens are accustomed to. So it'll be interesting to see how it pans out. But I don't know if you saw, there is a crypto trickster, an anonymous crypto trickster who has identified the wallets of a few celebrities, Dave Chappelle, Coinbase CEO Brian Armstrong is on that list, and is sending small amounts of Ether to each of these addresses, which is now tying them up in this whole Tornado Cash saga. I wonder if we're going to see regulators go after celebrities. That just sounds like a disaster to me.
It's actually pretty scary because everyone have been using Tornado Cash differently, like even like Gitcoin donations or just for working for projects, running or downloading its software, visiting a website, depositing and withdrawing, and all of this will have like legal implications. So I just really want to see how are they gonna resolve this issue. Like, I don't think a lot of people are happy as of now.
No, definitely. A lot of crypto people aren't happy. I think a lot of people outside of crypto, though, will read the headlines that we see and they'll say, oh, but, you know, criminals.
We told you so. Criminals.
Well, they'll say criminals use this for money laundering because that is the messaging that we're getting from regulators. But I want to be clear, the messaging that the regulators are using is North Korean hackers use Tornado Cash that North Korean hackers use Tornado Cash to, what's the word I'm looking for? Create the largest Wonder. DeFi hack. Well, they executed on the largest DeFi hack in history. And because North Korean hackers use Tornado Cash, that's why they believe they need to ban it in the US. But that doesn't make sense, because what does a ban on US citizens have to do with stopping North Korean hackers? That's not going to stop them.
Because I think one thing that they mention is that, you know, they have to ensure that Americans can't legally do business with North Korea without government approval. So, and I don't know where, but I think Tornado Cash is based in the US. So that kind of have the legal implications right there. But just want to be clear to everybody, like, when we build tools, they are going to be bad actors using it for illicit activities. We can't stop that from happening. And we are building these tools because they are built for greater good, to achieve financial privacy for everybody. So, you know, I think they mentioned like only 20% of the funds are being laundered by the North Korea side. So, yeah, but apparently the rest of us who are using it for really legit issues, you know, we're getting affected. So making a tool illegal won't stop its illicit use, you know. So
yeah,
criminals, they have no regards for the law. Just want to put it out there.
Criminals use fiat currency. They use cash. They use the dollar. Yeah. You know, they could use gold bars if they wanted to. It's not a reason to ban tools that make financial inclusion and financial accessibility better for everyone.
Even for Vitalik, he even stepped in into saying that he used Tornado Cash to actually donate for, like, donate to Ukraine, you know? And people are like, oh, you don't want issues with the government. That's why you're saying it right now, you know? But he's saying, like, his stance with Russia has been clear on Twitter. He's just using Tornado Cash to protect the receiver. So there are a lot of benefits from using Tornado Cash, not just for money laundering. So, yeah. You can actually donate to a polarizing cause using Tornado Cash, you know, protecting the receiver and the sender. So,
yeah, well, let's see what happens next. I think this is a story that's going to continue to unfold. And we have more unhappy news to talk about. What is going on today?
Today?
Yeah. Every day.
Every day. I mean, yesterday we saw Curve Finance has a front-end hack, I would say. So it's actually compromised. So a lot of people on CT is telling people to not access Curve Finance until further notice, because apparently the front end it's getting some bad contracts and they can access your wallet. So you gotta like revoke all those contracts that's going on. So yeah.
So and when you say front end, what do you mean?
So it's I think it's kind of similar. I'm not too sure about the technicalities of it, but it's kind of similar like the MetaMask one where people code they use the term like what is the term, clickjack, right? So they basically lead you to a separate website which looks exactly like the front end of Curve Finance, and that is where you approve all the smart contracts and everything, and that's where you give them the permission to access your funds. So yeah, it's almost similar to the one, if I'm not mistaken, like the one with MetaMask back in June. Yeah.
I don't remember what happened with MetaMask back in June.
They have like the similar clickjacking vulnerability issue that was going on. So they actually released a bounty for that.
I do remember that. So basically what Kat is saying is don't click on any links that you don't know where they came from. Even if you think you know where they came from, just be a little bit vigilant, because once you click on some of these links, you are giving away a lot of information to hackers and bad actors who can access your wallet, your funds, your device. So just stop clicking on things. It's a scary world out there.
Be on your guard. Like, really, just really have to be attentive. And I think one way to actually help you be ahead of news is to be on crypto Twitter, because people tweet this kind of things ahead of time before the media picks it up. So you get the information firsthand, and there are a lot of devs in the space that are really passionate about ensuring that people do not fall, you know, victim to this kind of scams that's going on.
Crypto Twitter, I have to say, for someone who's just starting out in crypto, is crazy, Kat. It is insane.
Overwhelming. It's really overwhelming.
Where do people start? Like, if you were going to give advice to people to say, okay, you're going to learn something on crypto Twitter, where do you start? Like, what accounts would you follow?
I think we can like start from the bigger accounts, and Twitter will actually recommend you conversations that are talking on like cryptocurrency and everything else. But I think Sass, what will be cool is after, you know, this recording, we come out with a thread to give a summary on like who we think that our users should follow as they start out with crypto Twitter.
I love that. And just, you know, don't be afraid of crypto Twitter. Just embrace it, because everyone is having a good time, you know, having a good time sharing some information. And if you see trolls out there, just ignore them.
I feel like it's the new TikTok. Like, for us in the space, I don't know about you, but I'm more addicted to Twitter than I am to TikTok or Instagram, just because I relate to the conversations more, and I am really digging the meme culture. So I really love Twitter.
Kat, there is a lot of fun stuff happening on TikTok when it comes to crypto. You need to get on TikTok.
Mm.
No? You're not into it, eh? Okay. Well,
I actually, actually, I just downloaded TikTok again yesterday. So
yeah,
just gonna give it a try because I am bored. Intrigued by the algorithm of how they can read my mind. This is some bougie shit going on, you know? Like,
I know. Okay, I have to tell you, last week we talked about crypto dating scams and I fell down a black hole, you know, reading stories. Like, I spent a whole
night reading stories
about scams in this space. It feels like we're talking about scams every other day. Listen to this. This is from Reddit. The title is someone trying to crypto scam me through Hinge? Let's listen. Matched with someone on Hinge about a week ago. Foreign lady claims to not have lived in the US, where I live, for a very long time, a couple years. Her English isn't great. We moved the convo to WhatsApp to keep messaging after a bit. Now we've been messaging for about a week. Throughout the day, she keeps bringing up DeFi 2.0, in brackets, a type of crypto investment, and how she's making a bunch of money off of it. She hasn't asked me to do anything other than suggest that I learn about it using Google, but she keeps bringing it up in conversation, telling me how much she made that day, and it's just sort of weird. Is this someone trying to crypto scam me? She hasn't asked for any personal data. I wouldn't give it if she did. And we planned to meet in person when she gets back from a trip in a couple of weeks. Perhaps I'm just speaking with a genuine crypto girl bro here and it's all good. I'm just a bit wary as it seems very odd to continue steering the conversation to this specific crypto investment when I have expressed that I'm not interested. For what it's worth, we've chatted about all sorts of other topics as well and spent hours chatting about life in general. I have a hard time imagining a scammer would take so long getting to the point, but what do I know? Wow. All right, Kat, is this person a scammer?
Of course it's a scammer, but...
What do you mean, of course?
Of course they're a scammer. They keep going back to, like, financial services. Like, if I want to, like, do you or DTF, you know, like, wouldn't be talking about scams and investment. I'll be talking about other things and bring you out, you know. I'm pretty sure this person they will avoid meeting. It's probably a catfish, and if it's not a catfish, it's a freaking scam, man. And come on, guys, seriously, it's too good to be true, you know.
There is an update. So this person writes, case solved. It's obviously a scam based on everyone else's experience. Just wanted to share how detailed the scammer's research was. One of our topics was restaurants in the area, and they immediately dove into some pretty realistic opinions of local places, which I have a hard time understanding how the scammer was able to do so. Scammer sent multiple photos and videos of self and kids. Scammer had a photo of the interior of her workplace. All in all, some pretty detailed backup materials, so be careful out there. Yes, just because people are showing you pictures and videos, we should know by now that it's very easy to doctor things like this and find photos and videos on the internet.
Yeah, I mean, everyone just document their life right now. I wouldn't be surprised if this person is taking the images off from someone else's profile, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, be careful, man. That's... sketchy as hell.
It seems like this person's spidey senses helped him out, though, right? He kind of knew. Someone keeps bringing up DeFi for no reason. Beware.
Yeah. To be honest, this is like where I am guilty as well. I had tried online dating before, and the only thing I really know about is crypto because my life honestly revolves around it. So usually people ask me what I'm doing, I would just be like, oh, you know, this is what I do. And they're like, this is a scam. You're a scammer. You know, they're like, you're replying to my messages and you're talking about crypto. So you are a scammer. So I've been fault for that, to be a scammer, just because like I reply to people. So I don't know. Maybe people are more self-aware than I am.
No, honestly, I think when you're in this, I talk about crypto all the time. People think I'm such a loser. But that's in person. I don't know. I'm not on any dating apps. If I was, they probably would think I'm a scam too. So whatever. We're scams then, I guess.
Yeah, I'm a scammer. I'm not. I'm sorry. Do not quote me. I am not. Yeah, but speaking of this, I think there is a crypto news that released also about 2-3 days ago. Is a man that does not, like, he doesn't want to believe that he's in a scam. You know, he invested actually over $24,000 into a Bitcoin scam. And he doesn't believe that he has been fallen victim despite local police telling him otherwise. So this is
so sad.
It's sad, but at the same time, like, yo, dude, wake up. Like, what are you thinking? Like, there is no pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. You know, there wasn't any rainbow. So just wake up. He still thinks that he can, like, get the transaction back, you know, and the bank keep flagging red flags and his account was actually off frozen. So I don't know. He's trying to give the more money to the fraudster, basically.
Yeah, I think it's important to say in crypto, you know, getting rich quickly isn't something that happens, and it's a narrative that I think is spun in the mainstream and amongst people who aren't really in the space. We hear about people who, you know, got rich, became multimillionaires overnight, and people have this, like, false hope and false dream. And it sounds like this poor man had that. He deposited $24,000 onto a fraudulent crypto platform, was told it's now only worth $23. He just doesn't want to believe the police, you know, like, that's really sad.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know, like, just now you mentioned about the dream of, like, getting rich quick, guys. That is what you do when you play lottery. Okay, like,
exactly.
It's just too good to be true. Yeah, this is not lottery. Like, as much as whatever people are covering out there about their success stories, there are even more failures in the space that are not being covered by media. You know, media pick their stories properly. So just be aware that a lot of people still do lose money when it comes to volatile assets. So always do your own research, be on your guard, look out for all these scams that's happening in the space or other bad actors that are in the space, you know. And the best way of keeping yourself protected is being knowledgeable.
I think that's great advice, Kat. I think we should leave it there. Be knowledgeable. Do your own research. If something sounds too good to be true, it most likely is. And remember, in crypto, there is no bank to help you get your money back. It's all you. So you got to take the good with the bad and understand what truly owning your own money means. It comes with big responsibility.
Yeah. Really big responsibility. So, I mean, after the show, we can definitely drop some threads on who to follow, how to get your journey started on crypto Twitter, and other security and privacy, you know, what are like those educational
resources.
Materials.
Resources.
Yeah, resources.
Yes. Follow us on Twitter. You can start by following us there. Look at who we follow. Check out the information that we share. And we will see you next week or hear you next week. You'll hear us next week.
Yeah.